And now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords with Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena. Happy Election Day.
Happy Election Day. South Koreans are headed to the polls today to select a new parliament. 300 seats up for grabs. Let's start there. This is our first keyword of the day.
Election Day.
So polls have opened for the 22nd general election, shaping parliament for the next 4 years. It is also seen as a midterm referendum on President Yoon. If the DP retains majority, it might be a tough battle for President Yoon. Tell us more.
Yeah, so there's up to 300 seats available or up for grabs. Polling opened at 6 a.m., so we're just over an hour into voting at the moment. So it'll end at 6 p.m. across over 14,200 polling stations. Early results are expected by tomorrow morning, or the wee hours of tomorrow morning. So it might take a little bit longer than before. Now, voters cast their ballots for both district candidates and proportional representation parties. In some areas, up to three ballots may be cast, including for by-elections. Now, after polls close, ballots are transferred for counting, with a new verification counting step added to enhance transparency. This involves manual confirmation of each ballot after they've been sorted by the machine. However, due to the unprecedented length of the proportional representation ballots, additional staff has been deployed as well. Now, the counting process is expected to take longer than the usual 9.5 hour average of the previous election. So, yeah, if you're... I wouldn't wait too much for the results if you're trying to resist going to bed to get the results. It might be, yeah, sometime, as you say, around 2 a.m. Or somewhere about that time. Mm. Now, final results for district winners are anticipated early tomorrow morning, with proportional representation seats to be determined later in the day. Parties have been making their final appeals to voters yesterday, the last day of campaigning. The People Power Party is aiming for a victory in Seoul and the surrounding areas. It chose Cheonggye Plaza or Cheonggye Stream in Seoul for their last rally. Han Dong-un, the interim chief, questioned if it was right to hand over power to what he called the scandal-ridden opposition. And he also promised to fulfill the PPP's plans, including moving the National Assembly to Sejong City, ending the financial investment income tax, and rearranging Seoul and Gyeonggi provinces' districts as well. Now, the Democratic Party held its final rally near the president's office in Yongsan, emphasizing their message to judge the current government. Lee Jae-myung, the DP chief, claimed that the Yoon government has caused regression in all aspects of the country, in his words, including the economy, diplomacy, national security, and democracy, basically saying this vote is a referendum on his tenure. So, yeah, a lot of mudslinging there, as usual. And we'll have to see a lot of hotly contested areas in Seoul. Yeah. A bit too close to call. So it's hard to say which party has the advantage. Usually, if we look at the trends of previous general elections, usually the opposition parties have the upper hand, usually, but we'll have to see if any changes come about this time around.
It has really quickly become a bitter contest between the two arch rivals. I saw the New York Times call it gladiator politics. I think that's a pretty good description of what's been happening, but we'll see a lot at stakes. That's probably what it's echoing.
Yeah, today is going to be the Colosseum, I guess.
If you can't travel to Rome, bring it here. Right. All right, let's move on to our second keyword of the day.
Chip cluster.
So the government is accelerating its efforts to build a semiconductor mega cluster in Yongin with the help of big giants, Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix. What's the latest? I mean, this is a mega plan, South Korea aiming to take up 10% of the chip market share for all of AI.
Right. So, yeah, so this is basically in response to, well, somewhat in response to the intense competition around the world, where countries are offering big subsidies to support their semiconductor industries locally to keep up the government here is also going to quickly come up with incentives for companies investing here at home. We've seen cases of this like in the US as well, the CHIPS Act, for example, and the Inflation Reduction Act also, but that's usually more towards the electric vehicle aspect of things. Mm. Now, additionally, in response to the AI era, the government is focusing its national R&D capabilities on semiconductor AI technology innovation to leap into the top three global AI countries. Now, in a meeting led by President Yoon on semiconductor issues, the government discussed the progress of the semiconductor mega cluster and the AI semiconductor initiative. Now, the meeting highlighted the need for solid infrastructure support to allow companies to invest properly in the mega cluster. The government plans to expand financial support for companies as well. It plans to make the process for environmental impact assessments quicker and ensure that enough water is supplied for Samsung Electronics' System Semiconductor Cluster and SK Hynix's Semiconductor Cluster. Of course, there needs to be a lot of cooling when it comes to producing and manufacturing semiconductors. Now, to compete in the global so-called subsidy war, the government will create incentive programs for domestic investments in high-tech companies and is considering extending tax benefits for big semiconductor investments. They're also looking to train more experts in the field as well by adding more specialized semiconductor universities and colleges. President Yoon has vowed to make Korea one of the three leading nations in the world in terms of AI technology. He says AI chips are rapidly dominating the semiconductor market. Of course, a lot of chips that are being made now have AI in mind. And it's a big business model for a lot of these tech companies. Now, to aid the effort, the government here will invest 9.4 trillion won in AI and AI chips by the year 2027. It'll also create a 1.4 trillion won fund to help the growth of AI chip companies as well. So, yeah, it's going to be an ambitious project, but that mega cluster is certainly in the works.
I mean, it's about South Korea's competitive edge, right? What will be our bread and butter? Semiconductor-related goods account for 20% of total exports as we speak. So this is an important industry. How do we become the top three providers for AI chips? We'll leave it there for now. Let's move on to our third keyword of the day.
Naval inspection.
So getting a closer look at illegal fishing in South Korean waters, President Yoon has ordered the Coast Guard to sternly clamp down on illegal fishing by Chinese vessels, especially during the crab season. He made the remarks as he inspected how the Coast Guard is cracking down on illegal fishing, particularly in the West Sea.
Right. So he emphasized the need for a strong response to illegal fishing, not just for protecting marine resources like crabs or other fishes, but also for national security as well. And he criticized the previous government for not taking firm action due to concerns about China's reaction, noting that this negligence, as he put it, led to significant harm to Korean fishermen. Now, Yoon highlighted the importance of not yielding to the influence of surrounding powerful countries like China and ensuring the livelihoods and safety of Korean citizens. And he noted that even North Korea, which is China's close military ally, takes strong actions against Chinese fishing boats operations, illegal operations. Now, to support the Coast Guard in their mission, he promised improvements in their treatment and equipment modernization as well. He also mentioned introducing specialized ships for boarding illegal fishing vessels and updating the Coast Guard's safety gear. And while he was inspecting the vessels, he received reports on future plans for a comprehensive crackdown on illegal fishing. This included plans for the construction of crucial facilities like fueling stations and refrigeration facilities for fishing operations to be fast-tracked in cooperation with financial authorities. He also paid tribute to fallen Coast Guard officers who had died in the line of duty. This visit follows his directive last month for a strong response to illegal fishing after a fisherman in Yeosu raised concerns about fishing vessels depleting fish stocks. That concern was raised in this government public debate that President Yoon has been undertaking for a while. Now, the government has since stepped up enforcement, capturing several illegal fishing boats and making significant efforts to protect marine resources and fishermen's livelihoods as well. So he's basically doubling down on those calls and efforts. And it's been years, not a long-term concern that Chinese vessels are illegally intruding into South Korean waters and basically depleting the resources at sea.
So how do we further crack down on it? That's part of the president's plan. We'll leave it there for now so we can move on to the ongoing medical strike. A rift is growing within the medical circle, as we rightfully pointed out, is expected yesterday. Let's move on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Internal conflict.
So the Korean Medical Association is canceling the planned joint press conference with other doctors' groups and medical professors. This comes amid signs of apparent internal conflicts over how to respond to the government's plan to increase a medical student quota. As you alluded to, it's a large group of people with perhaps varying personal and professional interests. So what's the latest, Adam?
Right, so the KMA said it needs basically more time for negotiations with the trainee doctors. It had announced plans for a joint press conference after the elections today to express a unified stance. It was expected to come tomorrow or Friday at the latest. Now, this move sparked expectations of establishing a unified platform for dialogue with the government, potentially accelerating discussions on medical reform. Yet it turned out to be wishful thinking on the KMA's part, without an actual agreement from the residents who were on strike. And Pak Dan, head of the emergency committee at the Korea Intern Resident Association, said through social media that there was no agreement to hold such a press conference. Now, the KMA's emergency committee also appears to be at odds with Im Hyun-taek, the newly appointed KMA president, who has taken a hardline approach toward the government. The conflict seems to be with moderates, who are more willing to talk and possibly make some concessions as well, especially in light of more pressure from the government in terms of their actions against striking trainee doctors. Now, despite the setbacks, the KMA reiterated its unified position to discuss the medical school expansion plan. It's just a matter of reaching a consensus within themselves on their own stance, which seems to be pretty much divided at the moment. So we'll have to see how long it'll take if they do come to any unified consensus, but it's not going to come soon, a lot of watchers believe. And of course, the talks with the government as well also likely be a lengthy process as well.
All right, with that, we move on to our final keyword of the day.
Chinese official to North Korea.
So China's third highest ranking official, Zhao Liji, will lead a delegation to North Korea this week. This would be the highest level meeting between the two countries since the start of the pandemic and the reopening of the borders. What can we expect?
Right, so the chairman of the National People's Congress will visit North Korea from Thursday to Saturday. No details were released on what was described as just a goodwill visit by China's foreign ministry, except that the delegation would attend the opening ceremony for what's known as the China-North Korea Friendship Year. They're celebrating 75 years of diplomatic ties. A dispatch from North Korea's official Korea Central News Agency also announced the trip. Zhao is a member of the powerful Politburo Standing Committee, and it'll be his first trip to Pyongyang since he became chairman of China's top legislative body. Now, North Korea and China are expected to hold a number of exchanges to mark the 75th year since they established diplomatic ties. Kim Jong-un has been pushing to boost partnerships with China and Russia as of late, in a bid to strengthen his regional footing and join a united front against the United States. Experts believe Zhao's visit could be laying the groundwork for an upcoming visit by Kim to Beijing to strengthen cooperation between the allies. There have been some delegations visiting North Korea. We had one about a month ago, but this would be the highest level one since the reopening of North Korea's borders. So we don't know too much details on what to expect. So we'll have to wait until the meeting is over. And even by then, we probably won't get all the details, but we'll have to see.
We'll get drips and drabs and further analysis. And we'll count on you to weed through the noise. Thank you so much, Adam, for today's coverage. Happy Election Day.
Happy Election Day. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.